Zahar Lashem, now entering into the gate of the Kedusha of the Yontif of Pesach. Chazal take us by the hand and show us how to come in to the Yontif. You know that there's a Masechta in Shas that's called Maseches Pesach, which contains within it all of the halachas of Pesach. The whole world of the Yontif is in that Maseches, in that Masechta Pesach. And the Mishnah begins, Or la avosa b'ikin es ha-chomets l'or ha-nir. The entrance into the Yontif of Pesach is with the word Or, light. Or la avosa b'ikin es ha-chomets l'or ha-nir. The Mishnah that leads into the world of Pesach begins with the mitzvah of bedikas chomets, of checking for chomets, with a candle. The Mishnah doesn't say Leil Yud Gimel, the night of the 13th, which is when we check for chametz. The Mishnah uses dafka the term Or La Abos, or the light leading into the 14th day. Or La Abos, a boik and a sachametz lohaneh. That means that the beginning of the Yontif of Pesach, the entrance into the Kedusha of this time of the year, is with searching. Chipus, searching. Looking. When does a person search for something? A person searches for something when he knows and he feels that there was something and it's missing. There's something that he knows. There's something that's important. And he's trying to find it. This din, this halacha of searching for the chametz, davke with a candle, which is the beginning of the Maseches. The Gemara learns from a pasuk in Sfanya. But the Navi says, V'hoya b'hisahi. And it will be at that time, Hashem says, Achapes es Yushalayim Baneros. I will search Yushalayim with candles. And from there, the Gemara learns the din of our Mishnah that when searching for chametz, one has to search with a candle. Because Hashem says, I will search Yushalayim. Baneros, with candles. So the obvious question is, what's the connection between bedikas chametz, searching for chametz, and searching for Yerushalayim? So there's a sentence from Sfasemes. Sfasemes writes the following. The Inyan of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is not just a geographic location on the planet. There's a place in the person, in each Jew. That's called the Mishkan, that's called the Mikdash, the Yerushalayim of that person. Ki Inyan HaMishkan and Beis HaMikdash Nimtza B'Kol Ish Yisrael. As we just read in the Torah a few weeks ago, and you all know, the Alshon HaKadosh, really Chazal already said, it doesn't say B'Shachanti B'Socham, it says B'Shachanti B'Socham. That means that Hashem is longing to dwell within each and every one of us. V'hainu, the Sfasemes writes, Sheyesh nekuda achas taher b'kol ish Yisrael. What's the Beis HaMikdash? What's the Mishkan inside of us? What's the Bilvavi Mishkan Ev inside of us? So the Sema says it's the Nakuda Achas Tahir, B'kol Ish Yisrael. It's the deepest, deepest, innermost point of a Jew. That point inside of us that's who we really are. Behind the Shiesh, Nakuda Achas Tahir, B'kol Ish Yisrael. In every single Jew, there is that Nakuda Achas Tahir. There's that Kodesh Kadoshim, there's that Evan Shasia, Yushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, inside each and every person. Rak Shehinis Teres Ugnuza. Only thing is that it's concealed, it's hidden. Mikol Mokom, the Svasama says, nevertheless. Yochalios Nimsa Aide Chipus Beneirois. One can find, and it's the mission of our lives to search with the candle of Tariki Nemitz of a Tairah, to search for that Nakuda Achas Tahir inside of ourselves, to find Yerushalayim inside of ourselves. Yochel Lios Nimsa Dechipus Beneimz. Kiyesh Limso Gam Ata Beis HaMikdash V'Yerushalayim Aide Achipus. Even now, if one wants to, if you and I want to, we can find Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, that Nakuda Achas Tahir, that hasn't lied, that hasn't been defiled by this world, that is pure and clean. That Nakuda Achas Tahir is called Yerushalayim. It's called the Beis HaMikdash. And Ki Yesh Lumso Gam Ata Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim Aidei Achipus. And even now, each one of us is able to find the Beis HaMikdash, the Yerushalayim, if we search, if we look. So, since that day, Abitzeisimi Mitzrayim, since that day that we left Mitzrayim, we've been searching for Yerushalayim. We began our journey, our march to Yerushalayim. Of course, Yerushalayim Mamish, the city of Yerushalayim. We began our march to the city of Yerushalayim. And it would take many years, of course, till we would be able to have the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Beis HaMikdash was taken, and then rebuilt, and then lost again. But that search that began the day we left Mitzrayim is really, on the deepest level, not just a search for the city of Yerushalayim to reach that point on the map, but it's the search of Am Yisrael and each and every one of us individually for that mitzias, that reality of Shechanti B'Soich. Shechanti B'Soich. That Nakuda Achas Tahir that's inside of us. Because only in that place, only in that part of who we are, is it possible for a person to find Cheirus Mamish, to be free. Because that's the place where the person is himself. That's the place underneath all of the coverings, all of the make-believe, all of the silliness, all of the shtuyot, all of the imitations and impersonations, all of the insecurities. Rabbi Nachman Schussi, I know today was his birthday. Rabbi Nachman, in the first Chalik of Lekut Amaran, in Torah Ayin Reish Hei, Reish Ayin Hei, Rabbi Nachman has a whole mahalach over there, but he points out that the word chavshi, to be free, chavshi, is the same oasis as the word chipus. That means that the chipus, the search of Am Yisrael and each one of us in life, to Yerushalayim, that chipus, achapes Yerushalayim baneiros, that chipus, that search for Yerushalayim, is the she'ifa, is the longing that you and I have to be free. And again, freedom here doesn't mean just from outside forces. It means from all of those things within ourselves that are not allowing us to be real and to be honest and to be true. You know, when Rabbi Levin say Chatzadav Karsh Levache, I might have mentioned this here a year or two ago, but Rabbi Levin, the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, I'm sure many of you read the story of Rabbi Levin. Stories, he was a great, great tzaddik. And one of the things that he used to do is he would visit all of the Jewish prisoners, because the British took many of the members of the Irgun, and other Jews were taken as prisoners. And Rabbi would always go visit them. He would go visit them. Shabbos, Yontif, and it was the first day Yontif, and Rabbi went to visit the chevra that was in prison. And they made a seder there the night of Pesach, and Rabbi asked the guys in jail, so how did the seder go? How was the seder? And the chevra said, Rabbi, it was very beautiful. We had a seder, we had matzahs, we had wine, we had manishtana, we had afikrim, we did everything. But there was one disappointment. When it came to Shvoi Chamoscho, we went to open the door for Leonovi, and the police didn't let us. We weren't allowed to open the door of the prison. So Rabbi Levin said, Atem Choshvim, you think, She Eliyahu HaNavi Nechnas Derech HaDelet, you really think that Eliyahu comes through a door, a physical door? Eliyahu HaNavi Nechnas Derech HaLev. Elyonovi comes derech halev. When a Jewish heart is open, that's where Elyonovi comes in. Makes no difference. You could be locked, God forbid, in prison. There could be walls and moats surrounding a Jew. But if he's in that place that's called the Nekuda Achas Tahir Yushalayim, Besai Mikdash within himself, Veshachanti Besaicha, and he has a relationship that's real with the Creator of the world, in that true place, he's free. Makes no difference how many walls surround him. And you could have another person that can go anywhere he wants. No one's stopping him, but he's such a prisoner. He's such a prisoner to habits. He's such a prisoner to smallness, to silliness. You know it, and I know that there's hardly a person left in the world who's not a prisoner to some device. Even though now you have it off, all your devices are off. But as we're sitting here, there's bzzzing, beeping, and different things that are going on. And there are emails and text messages and different things. And it's almost impossible for a person to be mamish free. To be without shibud, to be free. Even though life has never been better for us, we're not in any jail, we're free to do whatever we want, to go anywhere we want. So when Rabbi Nachman says that the letters of the word chavshi, to be free, are the same letters as the word chippus, it means that just as Yerushalayim is described in Tehillim as Mesois Kol Ha'aretz, the joy of the world, every one of us is looking for Simchas Achai. Every single one of us wants to have in life Simchas Achai. Want to be able to have families, to raise children that are Ovdei Hashem, and ourselves to feel Simchas Achaim every minute of life. Yerushalayim is called Mesois Kol Ha'aretz because that chippus, the search for Yerushalayim, for Veshachanti B'soicham, for the Nekuda Achas Tahira, that's the search for Simchas Achaim, for Yerushalayim, which is Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. Because only when a person comes to that point within himself where he is chofshi, be'emes chavshi, free. To be the person that he wants to be, that she wants to be. Be'emes, not making believe. Only there, in that place, is there Simchas Achaim, true Simchas Achaim. But now the question is, say that we understand Achar Pesach Yerushalayim B'nei Rois, that we're looking for that point inside of us, that Nekuda Achas Tahir inside of us. What does this have to do with B'dikas Chametz? Since the Gemara learns from this pasuk of Achar Pesach Yerushalayim B'nei Rois, the din of B'dikas Chametz with a candle. So there's a great tzaddik, the Beis Yaakov from Ishbiz. He was the son of the Meir Shiloh, Chusi and Elena. Rabbi Yankel Ishbiz. Let me read to you a sentence. You don't have it on the page I gave you. Let me read to you a sentence from the Holy Ishbiz. Listen carefully. That's the Mishnah we began with. That by the light of the 14th day, meaning the 13th at night, we check for the chametz with a candle. The Beis Yaakov explains why does this Masechta Pesachim, the Masechta of freedom, of Pesach, why does Maseches Pesachim begin with the word Or, light? As I said before, it really should have said Leil Yud Gimel, the night of the 13th, not by the light coming into the 14th. So the Tzaddik says, Ki bezeh chag meyo Hashem yisbarach le'enei ha'odom, because on this yontiv, when Hashem is pulling us to Yerushalayim, away from Mitzrayim, away from all the Meitzarim that confine us, that hold us back, that are keeping us from Yerushalayim, from the Yerushalayim within ourselves. Ki b'zeh chag meyo, Hashem is baruch le'enei ha'odom, sheyakir mekoymo v'shorasho. Hashem is baruch illuminates our eyes with light, to be able, or to be able to see each one of us, sheyakir mekoymo v'shorasho, to see each one of us, our true makom, our true sheresh, who we really are, where we really belong, what we should be doing in life. We have to daven for that so hard this time of the year. Hashem Yisbarach, Hoyarein, I open my eyes to see what you want me to do in my life, what I could do with my life. Why did you create me? Me. Specifically me. What's my tachlis? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to do with my life? Hashem, the Beis Yaakov says, opens our eyes to see on this yantiv. Sheyakir mekoymo v'shorasho. V'yir mefurash also sheresh chesrayna. Now with that, what happens, the Beis Yaakov says, is that if a person is searching on Pesach, he's able to also see the sheresh, the root, of what it is in life that's missing. Meaning, what's wrong? What's wrong with him? What's wrong? What is it? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that I don't get? What am I? What's my mistake in life? The year Mafura Sharish Chesorim has Seor Shebeisa, which is the chametz inside of us. Hamaakev Haor Lahifiyalonah. That chametz inside of us that's in the way, that's standing in the way of Yerushalayim. On this yontiv, the Beis Yaakov says, Hashem opens our eyes, illuminates our eyes. Or la avos, so I was talking about bedikas chametz. Because chametz means the part of us that doesn't belong. The part of us that is spoiled, that's no good. The part of us that's in the way, the part of us that's not really us. That's called chametz. And the whole year, a person can be mamish oblivious to that. But we think right now that even when it comes to the city of Yerushalayim, the ma'akev, what's holding us back from taking Yerushalayim and the Harabayas and having Mashiach and the Beis HaMikdash, we think it's the Yishmaelim, it's the Arabs. The Arabs are annoying bugs and cockroaches. And Hashem Yisbarach is going to take care of them. I mean, take care. I don't mean in a good way. They'll be taken care of. But that's not the main ma'akif. If you and I would be'emes, be searching for the Yerushalayim within ourselves, chipus is the oisias chavshi, then all of those external obstacles, obstructions that are blocking the Jewish people from Yerushalayim would disappear in a second. If we would be the people that we need to be, if the chametz inside would be eliminated, would be burned, would be destroyed, then the mosque would fall down in a second. Yerushalayim would be ours. The Seor Shebi'isa, the chametz inside of us, the imperfections and the insecurities and so on, are blocking our way to Yerushalayim, to that Nekuda HaTahir HaGnuza, to that pure Nekuda inside of us. And therefore the Masechta begins, the Beis Yaakov is telling us, the Masechta begins with Bedikas Chametz. Because in order to be able to get to Yerushalayim, in order to be able to conclude the Chippus, and to come to Chofshius, to conclude the search, and to reach that point within ourselves that's called Yerushalayim, we have to honestly confront the chametz of our lives. We have to face the chametz that's inside of us. And therefore, both at night and in the morning, when it's time, when we burn the chametz, at night when we check the chametz, and then when we burn the chametz the next morning. So, kol chamir v'chamir, di'ikub yishusi d'chazisa, d'lo chazisa, d'chamitei, v'd'lo chamitei, and we say, l'batol v'lehevi, hefke ka'ar v'da'ar. In other words, we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us, that any chametz inside of me, that which I see, which I'm aware of, and the chametz that I don't see, that I don't know, I'm not aware of, that's wrong inside of me, I'm asking you, Hashem, help me, lebatel, to be mevatelit, to annul it, to destroy it, to burn it, to remove it from my life. Will I have a hefka ka'afadahar? It should be like the dust of the earth. So now let's talk about this chametz is a little bit, just for a few minutes. What is this chametz? What does it mean in Lashon HaKodesh, lahachmitz? What does it mean lahachmitz? Are any of you familiar with the expression from Chazal, Mitzvah Habo Liyodcha? No. Al Tachmitzana. What does that mean? When you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, right? Al Tachmitzana. Don't let it become chametz. It means, Lachmitz means when you allow something to sit beyond the time that it should be sitting, and you ignore it, you don't pay attention to it, and it begins to spoil. That's exactly what happens to the dough. If you don't work with it, if you don't take care of it, if you don't work with it, and you don't then put it into the oven, instead of being a matzah, it becomes chametz. 18 minutes is all that it takes, and it becomes chametz. Lachmitz means to delay something, to put off, to the point that maybe at an earlier time this would have been something that's good, but over time it has spoiled, and now it's not good, it's hurting me, it's spoiled. In Avodas Hashem, that means the following. There are certain expectations that a person has that could very well be completely unrealistic. I was talking to a boy last week who is having tremendous frustration with Shidduchim. And once he described to me what he's looking for, I understood why. Because I don't think that such a girl has been created. You're probably all very close to that. But I wouldn't let you date this particular guy. But he's looking for something that doesn't exist. And every time that he's gone out, he's been disappointed. There are habits that you and I have. Each one, there are different habits. Hergelim. Hergelim, for years and years and years, I didn't want to acknowledge the reality that I was addicted to diet soda. And for years, my wife was asking me, why is it that when I come back from shul, it's only 7:30 in the morning, why do I sit down to my gemara with a glass of soda? Why are you thirsty at 7:30 in the morning? Why do you need to have Diasod. This is going back around 37, 38 years. This is before Diet Coke, when they only had something called Tab. You don't remember that. You do? I don't know if it's still around. It was mamish poison. I mean, they're all poison, but it mamish tasted like poison. And then they came out with Fresca. Only in 1968, it was a big yontif. Then Dr. Pepper came to New York. It was a big yontif for all of the shikairim that were drinking it. And I didn't want to acknowledge that. And in a very, very sweet and nice way, my wife was suggesting to me, she put little articles on my desk about how dangerous diet soda is, and I was always, I wasn't reading any of this stuff. And then she decided that she had had enough, and she got together with all of my daughters, Baruch Hashem, I have six daughters. She didn't bother my son for this, but she got together with the six girls, and I saw something serious was brewing when I walked into the house. And I took my can of soda from the refrigerator and I went upstairs to my study, Machaya, and I poured myself, I had little ice cubes in there, you know, it was nice. The straw, I poured, this is not Diet Coke, this is already Cherry Zero, this is already Chosha the person. And I pour into my cup. I'm going to start learning, it's a Machaya. And no knock, the whole chevra comes in, my wife and the girls. And my oldest goes over to the desk and takes the soda away from me and goes, whoa. What are you doing? And they're all standing there and they said, Daddy, this is enough already. You're addicted to this stuff. This is going on for so many years. It's enough. I must speak. We love you. We want you to live to see our chasnas and our children's chasnas. This is enough. I must speak. And I start to get very defensive, you understand? Addicted. What are you talking, such a lotion? Addiction. But like while I'm watching them take my soda away, I'm feeling like a chalisa zadas. You understand? I can't concentrate on the conversation. How could you say a chutzpah to say to your father such a thing? You're saying I'm an addict? My whole life I'm trying to help addicted people. Yeah, your mom's addicted. And then my wife puts down this article. And she says, no, this time you're reading it, we're watching you while you're reading it. I'm not walking out, I'm not leaving these little articles and little cards. You're reading it in front of us. So I can't have the whole dozen here, you understand? So I read this and says, you know, what this stuff does to you. And, you know, kills your memory, it kills your cells and them, amoebas, everything's getting killed. And I'm reading this thing. And it's talking about having one can a day, two cans a day. I would have an average of between five and seven cans a day of soda. Yeah, there was one for breakfast, and one was for the hafsaka, and then there's for lunch. And it's like, because I don't eat breakfast or lunch, I only eat supper. And I was addicted. Yeah, it's true. And I stopped that day, Baruch Hashem. There are hargelim, that's a very obvious addiction. There's so many hargelim. Hey, there are so many habits. There are people that are not schnorrers for money. Not because you have beggars that they go begging for money, but then you have other people who they're begging for compliments. They're schnorrers for compliments. And if somebody doesn't smile at them the right way, if somebody doesn't compliment them on how they look, they can't live almost the whole day, they're broken, and so on and so forth. There's so many hergelim, so many habits. Chametz, mamash chametz. A glass of soda began as something innocent. I was playing ball when I was in high school, and you take a glass, you take a drink, and the chevra, everybody's drinking a little bit of soda. But then over time, it just sits, and you don't change it, and you don't revisit it, and you don't evaluate it, and it becomes chametz. Just spoils, and it begins to destroy your life. There are certain opinions and ideas that you and I have since we're children, and they just sit there. We take them for granted that that's how life must be, that's how it is. Either because we were indoctrinated at home or in school, there are certain beliefs right now. Every one of you has certain ideas and concepts, including myself, that sheker v'chazer. It's absolutely not true. According to the Torah, they're not true. According to the Torah, that do not it all match up with the Baruch Shalom's will of what we should be thinking and feeling. And if you and I would study them properly, and if we would be honest, and if we would try to search through these thoughts, these concepts, these habits of our lives, we would realize that they mamash achamitz. How about people who are in bad relationships? Okay, listen to this. This happened, as it happens, this happened on Sunday, but I could tell this happens almost every week. There's a girl from the community whose parents asked me if I would speak to her. Now she's 20 years old, or 21, and I said that if she wants to speak to me, she should call me. It's not baby. Your mommy's calling for her. So she calls me the next day. Can she talk to me? I say, you want to talk, or is this mommy? No, I want to talk. So let's come. Her parents are not happy with the boy that she's seeing. They're not happy with what they're seeing in this relationship. They've been going out for 5 or 6 months. Parents are not happy at all. They've picked up certain things from the boy. And the girl is telling me about how her parents are giving her a hard time. She would like to get engaged. And I asked her a very, very strange question. I know you're going to laugh. It was mamish a strange question. I asked her, is there any basis to your parents' concerns? It's a strange question, yeah? I mean, do you understand why your parents... Is there any reason why you would see that your parents have these concerns? So she's quiet, like she hadn't thought of that. She's quiet, and she tells me, there is an issue with arrogance, I agree. But from that first mention of arrogance began a chargadia, you understand? By the time she was finished with the chargadia, it wasn't echad miyadeya shloi, it was more than shloisha samiyadeya, and she was already crying. And I'm asking her, why do you want to get engaged to this boy? You don't like him. You don't even, I forget, I love him. What's about love? You don't like the guy. Why would you like to get engaged to him? So then she starts to tell me the whole mice. I'm not embarrassed, you're big girls. She starts to tell me how she already did things with this guy. And she had done things earlier with a different guy. And she feels that who am I going to marry at this point in my life? 21. 20, I don't even think 21. Who would even want to marry a girl like me after what I've done? And this guy knows who I am. And at least he understands. And at least he's arrogant, he's selfish. He even speaks to her in an abusive way. He once, on the FDR, he pulled over on the side of the highway and told her to get out of the car. He threw her out of the car on the side of the highway. And she's ready to go under the chuppah with him. And she's not the only one that does stuff like this. Baruch Hashem, she's not going to marry him, but there are many that do marry those guys. So how could such a thing be? She's an intelligent, lovely young lady. Comments. What does that mean? It means that she met the boy. There was something, there was an attraction. And something developed. They began to act out certain things. And what started perhaps as something innocent and something nice, it spoiled. It got spoiled. It got rotten. And she should have gotten rid of this chametz after this first or second day. It became chametzdik and more chametzdik and more chametzdik. And Baruch Hashem, her parents saw that she really wasn't happy. And she was crying to me by the end of the conversation. She was bawling that she wasn't happy. She's unhappy. But no one's going to marry me. Who's going to marry me? And she was crying. So people are in relationships that just... You're just in that relationship. It's not because there was ever any search to find out whether it's real, whether it's true, whether that relationship speaks to the Yerushalayim inside of you, whether that relationship is a relationship of v'shechanti b'sayicham. Is this somebody you're going to live with together in the Beis HaMikdash? Is this v'shechanti b'sayicham? Does this person speak to the Nekuda Achas HaTahira HaGnuza? Does this person bring out that deepest, purest point in who I am? But it's just, you're used to that relationship. The same. You're used to it, and who else is going to marry me? And all my friends got married, and he, you know, he's a cute guy, and comes from a nice family, v'chul. So the same. Chometz. You have people that they're working at jobs, that they're really much smarter than the job. They really outgrew the job a long time ago. At the beginning, the job is very good. But then it became chometz. It doesn't belong anymore. They outgrew the job. They're much brighter. They're much more talented. They'd feel much more sipuk ha-nefesh if they would take on a different job. They'd get something that would, they would have to work harder. But it's so difficult for people to make changes, to do something new in life, because chometz means that I just stick with what's familiar to me, what I'm used to. A person that has a temper, gets angry, say, what are you screaming? I always, that's who I am. That's who I am. What kind of terrorist is that? I'm angry. My father's angry. My Zaydi's angry. All the way back to Hasidim, I wall angry Jews. I'm just angry. For all of us, I come from a long line of yellers, of screamers, of angry people. Is that a terrorist? That's an answer? That's an explanation? No, it means that I just accept this as part of who I am. So I was always like this. And the person is meshubed, is enslaved to this way of thinking, to this way of behaving. All of these chometzdike things inside of us, emotions, habits, opinions, are keeping us back from Yerushalayim. The fear of changing, the fear of something new, the fear of taking a jump, of taking a leap into something great. So what happens to us is that because of this fear of uncharted, new territory, because of this fear of letting go of habits and familiar chametzdike things in our lives, we miss many opportunities. Not just for new jobs, for the right relationship, for the right job, and so on. So the Beis Yaakov says another sentence. We don't have anywhere else in Halacha where there's so many stringencies like with chametz, so many chumras like with chametz. That we have mechiras chametz and bedikas chametz and bittel chametz and beer chametz and everybody for any tiny little crumb. We don't have this by anything else in Yiddishkeit. We're so careful to look for the tiniest little piece of chametz at ein shir. Since Hashem is busy on this yontiv, opening our eyes to see the chametz inside of us, so we could burn it away and get the Yerushalayim, get back to business, the business of building the Yerushalayim inside of us, of coming to that Likud inside of us, and being free. Therefore, we have to do whatever we can, to search for, to find that chametz inside. Those old habits and old ideas that are holding us back. And therefore you all know that the word Pesach itself means to leap over, right? To skip. Because Chazal tell us that really, you know, we weren't worthy to leave Egypt. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. And we said, forget it, we can't get out of here. You know, no slave ever escaped Egypt. You know that. No slave, Chazal say that no slave ever escaped Egypt. Auschwitz didn't have such a perfect record. There were a few Jews that escaped Auschwitz. But nobody ever escaped Mitzrayim. And you can be sure they didn't have any barbed wire. They didn't have any German shepherds marching around Mitzrayim. It means there was such a koach of Mitzrayim. And they had such a way of habituating the slaves and those who lived there to that life. Ad kedekach, that no one could imagine that there's life outside of Egypt. The same way that an addict cannot imagine How will I live without the cigarette? How will I live without the drink? How will I live without that website? How will I live? How can I possibly go on? He can't live. How can I live without looking at my phone? How can I live without seeing my text messages? How can I live without touching my phone every 20 seconds? How can I live? It's Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim. So we weren't interested in leaving. We crashed. It was hard. We were working hard. But we were on the 49th level of Tumah. So Chazal bring the pasuk from Shir Hashirim that Hashem is medala gelohar mumakapetz lagvos. That Hashem said, Hashem is compared to a deer that's leaping over mountains and hills. And Hashem said, even though the cheshbon doesn't add up, your cheshbon of 210 with 400, it doesn't come out the years that were told to Avraham Avinu, 400 years in slavery. But Hashem says, stop looking at the notebook, stop looking at your notes. Any ma'abid b'cheshbon eseichem, I'm taking you out. So Pesach is a time when a Jew is able to jump out. To jump out. Hashem shows the person if he wants, and he's searching for the truth. If he's looking for Yerushalayim, Hashem will help every one of us find what we need to get rid of in our lives, that chametz, and will help us to stop making a million cheshbonos. A million cheshbonos of why I can't change. Because there's so many good decisions that you and I have been putting off in our lives because we just can't make that jump. We just can't take that step out of Mitzrayim. We always are afraid that they're going to, that somehow we'll get caught, that somehow it's not going to work. I can't do that. So the boy feels, I can't get up for minyan early in the morning. I can't make the seder of learning. And the girl feels that I can't dress a certain way. It's not who I am. I know it's the right thing, but I can't dress that way because my friends will laugh, because my parents will be upset, because I'm not ready for it, because all the cheshbonos, that if Hashem lived with cheshbonos, we'd still be in Mitzrayim. But Pesach means to stop making cheshbonos and to change. Look on the page that you have. On the bottom of the page, not the English, look at the Lashon HaKodesh at the bottom. This is the first Torah in Sikkhus HaTzadik from Reb Tzadik HaKohen from Lublin. How many of you heard of Reb Tzadik HaKohen? Good, Baruch Hashem. You'll be hearing much more about him over your lives, musician. It's the first Torah in Sikkhus HaTzadik. Reb Tzadik was the genius of all geniuses. He died in 1900. He didn't have any children, but he has many, many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jews who learned his Sfarim. Most of his Sfarim were destroyed in the Holocaust. But Baruch Hashem, we have quite a few. And the one that we begin learning, when you learn Reb Tzadik, the Sfarim are very hard. The Sefer we begin with is called Sikkhus HaTzadik. And this is the first Torah in Sikkhus HaTzadik. And the Kohen says the following. Reishis Knisas Ha'adam La'Avodas Hashem. The beginning of one's entrance, the way to enter into Avodas Hashem. Tzarech lios b'chipazon. What does chipazon mean? No? Chipazon means in a hurry. B'chipazon, in a hurry. K'moshim etzinu b'Pesach Mitzrayim. In Pesach, in that first Pesach in Mitzrayim, everything was chipazon. Everything was a crazy rush. And we ate the carbon Pesach b'chipazon. But lo Pesach doris. But when it comes to all future Pesachs in the future, after we left Mitzrayim, there's no din that it has to be b'chipazon. That you have to eat the carbon Pesach b'chipazon. There's no din b'chipazon. B'chipazon was when we left Mitzrayim. Why is that? Why is it that when we left, it was b'chipazon? But in all future generations, there's no din of b'chipazon. So Tzadik says, B'nei shahaz chol l'natik atzom mikol tayev v'sodom azeh. Because Reb Tzadik says that in the beginning, when you're caught up, you're stuck in all kinds of taivas, in all crazy compulsions and desires of this world. In order to detach yourself, all the crazy things, all the habits and bad things that we're bound to, that we're attached to, in the beginning, when you have that moment of inspiration, when you have that Ur La Baza, when you have that sudden feeling that you're searching, you've found that this is something which is taka bad for me. It's enough already. Or there's something good in my life that I've been delaying for too long, and everything's becoming chametz in my life. So Reb Tzaddik says that when you see something, that moment, you must guard the moment. You have to hurry. Quickly run away. There's an opening. There's a chance to leave Mitzrayim. Run. That's the beginning. So when you have that opportunity, when you feel inspired to change, don't start thinking about it. Don't start making cheshbonos. Don't start calculating how and what and when. I'll do it this time, I'll do it then. Don't. He says when you first have that inspiration, you have to do it b'chipazim. You run. But future Mitzrayim, future Pesachs rather, you can go slowly b'mesinus. La'at k'din Pesach daris. La'at. In other words, in general, it's not the way of a Jew to be compulsive and to act without thinking. But when it comes to that moment where you feel the inspiration to change, and you have the clarity that this is chametz, and you don't make any of the cheshbonos, just that second you have the clarity, Reb Tzaddik says, chipaz, get out. You have the door open for a second, run. Because you might not have that opportunity again. You have that moment, and you have to leave Mitzrayim. Now what happens, let's just now come to the conclusion. What happens if a person feels that I want to, but I can't. I just can't right now. I want to make this break for it. I want to change. But I just can't. So that's why we have something in halacha that's called bitul balev. That means that there's chametz in our homes that we can't find. I remember once, when the children were little, my second daughter's name is Suri, and I remember once it was Chol HaMoed Pesach, and I'm sitting at the table, and I see Suri walking across the living room eating from a bag of pretzels. I don't mean some kind of magic Pesach pretzels, I mean chametz pretzels. Chametz, deraisa, derabanan, everything. So I jump up, and I didn't want to scare her, so I snuck over. And then I grabbed the pretzels. And I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" She said, "I'm having pretzels." I said, "It's Pesach." "Oh." She was like, "Two was on me." So I'm shaking, you know. And I'm holding a bag of pretzels on Pesach in my hand. And she says to me, "I have a lot more stuff." And she takes me, she says, "Come." She takes me. She had some Purim, she took stuff. She stashed it inside a toy. She had different places where she put chametz. Just in case. You never know what's going to be with mommy and daddy. You know, the warden can get tough. And you have to have some stuff on the side for a rainy day. So, look, there's chametz that we don't see. What about the chametz in our lives that we don't see? Let's say I'm trying to fix what I need to fix to get rid of the chametz. I'm trying. But Baruch Hashem, you know that there's so many things inside of me. I don't even see them. I don't even know them. There are habits that I have. I don't even know. So we have something that's called bitul balev. That means when we make that proclamation, when we say, Rabbeinu Shlom, kol chamir v'chamir di'ikar b'shusi, there's chametz in my possession that I see, and there's chametz that I don't see. There's chametz that I know about, but Rabbeinu Shlom, there's chametz that I don't know about. I'm begging you. I'm asking you, help me. I'm proclaiming that I want this stuff out of my life. I'm davening to you. I don't even know what it is. Why do I act this way? Why am I impulsive? Why do I get angry? Why am I lazy? I don't even know how to begin fixing this. I don't know where it began. But I'm asking Rabbi Shalom, there's so many things inside of me, I don't know what to do with them. But I'm begging you, that you should be mevatelet. And when a person makes that macho, when he protests the chametz, when he's angry about the chametz, when he wants the chametz to go away, it's like saying kol nidre at the beginning of Yom Kippur. All things that are holding you back, kol nidre, all the things that I've become bound to in my life. At the beginning of Yom Kippur, we ask Hashem to remove all of these nidarm of my life, not oaths, just oaths that I've said, but things that I've become beholden to, ways of thinking, ways of habits, ways of life that I've become accustomed to that are not good for me. It's no longer good for me. And that's where we begin to say it with Halach Manya. This is the bread of a poor man. Because we go back to the beginning of our discussion, that a Jew has to want to search to find Yerushalayim. And the Jewish people are Re'eve Tuv Chot Smei Chazdecha. That we say in Anu B'Korach. Re'eve Tuv Rabban Shalom, we're so hungry for your kindness. We're so thirsty for your chesed. It's been so many years that we've been hungry to get back to Yerushalayim. It's so many years that we're looking, that we're trying, that we're searching. And therefore, Baruch Shalom, on the night of Pesach, we're asking you to help us be like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was raised in a place that was insane. He was raised in a crazy world. But he began to search. He began to search. And Hashem told him, Lech Lecha. Go to Yerushalayim. He began to search. Like the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he began to think and think and search, and he was a child. One child, Avraham Avinu changed everything by asking Man Nishtan Halayla Azeh, Man Nishtan. V'hayat Tameyan, Avraham Avinu was wondering, Heyach Ev Shashia Gagal Azeh Noyig Tomid. How is it possible that the earth is moving and everything in the world is changing and growing and there's no Baal Habir, there's no master of the world? How could it be such a thing? Until finally, with all of his questions and all of his more than four kashas and all of his chipusim, his searching, he became chofshi, he became Avraham Avinu. And that's the story of our people. It's the story of Pesach. Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu V'Achshav Kervanu L'Mokom. And now Hashem is... In the beginning we were worshipping idols, we were stuck. And now we're Hashem's servants. Now we're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let me end with a tiny little story. The first tzaddik from Belz was called the Sar Shalom, Reb Shalom from Belz. The Sar Shalom from Belz was the biggest rebbes in the world. And remember earlier, I was talking about Rabbi Levine and the in jail, and how the guys felt bad that they couldn't open the door for Shmeicha Mascha. See, in the little children, they very, very much look forward to that part of the Seder. They're able to stay awake because it's very late. So the time when Elionavi comes. Because Elionavi promised that Veheshiv Levavos Abonav, Levavonim Alavais, my Elionavi loves children. Now, Elionavi said that he's going to return the parents' hearts to the children's hearts. He's going to bring us back. So children are obsessed with Elionavi. So the parents, they're already half asleep, and they can barely move from all they've had to eat. So they make their way to the door, and they open the door. In our house, we start to sing, Elionavi, Elionavi. And we dance with all the children, the grandchildren, and we look out for Elionavi and the children. So the adults, of course, are already old, and we're cynical, and we know that there's no, you know, we're not going to meet Elionavi on the street. When you look at the children's eyes, it's the most unbelievable thing. Children, that they really, really are looking for Elionavi. And maybe in some way they could see him. So, in Belz that year, the youngest daughter of the Belz Rebbe, the youngest child, her name is Freidela. She fell asleep a long time ago. She was just sleeping like little children do on the chair, and she fell asleep and she was lying there. They put a little pillow for her and she was out. And they already went through the whole Seder, and it was already after Shrecha Mascha and after benching, and they're already up to Chag Gadya, it's already finished. Now the way that it worked in Belz is that when they opened the door for Shrecha Mascha, the Belz Rebbe would march out, and all the Jews came out from their homes, they were waiting for him. and the whole town of Belz would march to the big shul in Belz, because everybody knew that Elio Navi was the one who appeared to the Belzer Rebbe of Shalom Belzer after 40 nights of him not sleeping. He had Gili Elio, and the instructions of how to build the shul were given from Elio Navi to the Belzer Rebbe. So the Belzer Rebbe would lead the entire town, and they would walk to the big shul, and over there they would greet Elio Navi. So they already came back, and it was already Chag Gadya. And all of a sudden, like children do, little Fredla all of a sudden jumps up and she looks around and she saw that they were already Chag Gadya. And she starts to scream and to howl and to cry, Elio Navi, Elio Navi. I missed Elio Navi, I missed Elio Navi. So the women and everybody starts to say, Fredla, it's okay. This is Seder tomorrow night, and don't worry. And she's inconsolable. She just doesn't stop crying, Fredla. Elio Navi, Elio Navi. So the Belzer Rebbe tells everybody to be quiet. And he says, come. And he takes Fredla. And he leaves, and everybody follows the Belzer Rebbe. And then Jews are looking outside, and they see the Belzer Rebbe's going back to the shul. And every Jew in Belz comes out again. And they all walk to the shul, and the Belzer Rebbe starts to sing Elio Navi, Elio Navi, together with the whole town, for Fredla. Sometimes you and I feel like we're old people. We're not children anymore. And because of that, we feel, even at the age of 20, 21, 18, 19, 20, you feel, I've heard this from Chever, that it's like it's too late. It's never too late. There's always a second appearance of another. There's always a way to begin, to start again. That's what Pesach is. It's never, ever too late. Ever. It's just beginning. Hashem's Baruch should open our eyes to see all that's pure and holy inside. Hashem's Baruch should help us to see the Yerushalayim inside of ourselves. And Hashem's Baruch should open our eyes to see the chametz that we need to get rid of. Hashem's Baruch should help us to stop thinking so much and to go b'chipozon into the truth, to jump into the truth of being Jews the way that He wants us to be. And in that schuz, we'll be able to return to Yerushalayim, not l'shana haba, it should be l'shana hazayis, b'Yerushalayim avnuya. But you know what? Take 1 second before I leave. I forgot altogether. Just a tefillah. Excuse me. Look at the tefillahs inside. It'll take 1 second to do it together. This is from a sweet little breast of a book, but I want you to have it. I meant to do it together with you. It'll take a second. Look inside. It's English. It's familiar. Yeah? This is from a little breast of a book that are adaptations of Nassim's tefillahs. And look at their tefillahs. Dear God, teach me to begin anew. To renew myself along with all of creation, just as you renew the entire world each day. Show me how I can break free of the constraints of my habits, the restraints of my insecurities, the shackles of my unwarranted fears. Center of all existence, help me find the way to that sacred sanctuary within myself, Yerushalayim, to that precious center of my existence. Help me discover my place in the world, that place where I truly belong, that space which belongs unconditionally to me. Dear God, I've wandered for so very long. Help me find my way home. Teach me, dear God, to make a fresh start, to break yesterday's patterns, to stop telling myself I can't when I can, I'm not when I am, I'm stuck when I'm eminently free. Dear God, what a mess I've made of my life, a hopeless mess. How will I ever right all that I've wronged, restore all that I've ruined, fix all that I've destroyed? Only you can help me, dear God. If you don't help me, what hope is there? Help me and heal my life. Hashem is supposed to help us to all have your food.
How are you? Thank you.
You want some?
Yeah. He says hi. He said I had to come over and say hi. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't you just take anybody in the show, right? Yeah. Just have it.
Okay, of course.
Good girl.
Bye.
Thank you.